Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That would be a record.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Today's Friday.
On 670 The Score.
Ah, that felt good. Mike McCarthy's going to get up out of here pretty soon. What up, Mac?
Yeah, but the thing is, if you think he's such a detriment, you want him to stick around forever. Now it's pretty much foregone conclusion. Everybody thinks he's history.
I know. It's one of those things that's tough to balance.
It was a nice ride.
It was a nice ride, but the Bears didn't get to take advantage of it much because they were so sorry that McCarthy was in a better spot and he was dealt a better hand, so he beat up on the Bears.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If the Packers don't make a move until after the season concludes, they'll have a team that's cars will be running when they get them for the game here at the end of the season. So that's a good thing. If they know he's gone, they're going to stop playing as soon as they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. That's what a lot of teams do.
And generally, the Packers, you know, they got the board of directors and everything's done by committee up there. So, generally...
But they do own their own stadium.
Yes, but they will... my guess is that McCarthy gets the rest of the season. So...
Yeah, probably.
We're going to get one more shot to send him off the Chicago
way. See, you get your last chance after all.
Oh, but last night was all I needed.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I thought it was a really entertaining football game, and I had high expectations going in, and it delivered. It was a real physical game. Even though Russell Wilson played horribly in the first half and Green Bay had some secondary issues, the Packers jumped them early, and what did Seattle do? Ground and pound its way to victory. It can still be done in the National Football League in a very productive night last night for Chris Carson, who carried the ball 17 times, another 8 carries for Rashad Penny. That's what I anticipate. That's the kind of game Minnesota is going to come in with this week against the Bears. Let's try to run at them because no one really has. And when their one team did, it succeeded, Miami.
So I think that's, you know, well, let's define that. Is 17 carries and 8 carries, is that grounded and pounding in this version of the NFL? 25 carries between the top two backs?
I think so. We looked at it yesterday. Todd Gurley averages 19 carries. Oh, that'd be great if he averaged 19. That would be like against the Illinois defense earlier this football season.
Right.
But that's the high, 19 carries. And, so I think anytime you're more than 15 carries in this era of pro offense, you could be called a workhorse back because they're going to flip you for real another half a dozen times, too.
And I think a big part of that is dictated by the score, right? If the Bears get out to an early lead, it'll be tough for the Vikings to get to those numbers. If the Vikings get out to an early lead, that certainly seems attainable. I think the Bears' rush defense is legitimately good. Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks, Trevathan, Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack. I think the Bears' rush defense is good.
Well, if Minnesota does what I expect them to do, we're going to find out more than what we know about that because we know they can rush the passer. The Bears can rush, and they can intercept the ball. They lead the league in interceptions. Can they stop a team that wants to stay committed to the running game? If Minnesota does that, we're going to find out. That's the one test they haven't had, and we talked with Wani yesterday about the one thing Trubisky hasn't done yet because he hasn't really had that opportunity is to lead them from a 10-point deficit or a 7-point deficit when there's 3 minutes left in a ball game.
Let me just give you something, okay? And you can talk about this the rest of the week.
I loved that.
Thank you.
I loved that. Thank you for the permission, Dave.
I didn't mention, after he did his segment, I walked downstairs. I go outside to have a smoke. And we're going down the – and I want to be up here when we – do the next segment. I don't like being late. I was like a minute late the other day, and I felt so bad about that.
It's okay.
So I'm rushing down the escalator, and Dave's telling a story about getting free food when he was an assistant at U.S. He just doesn't stop talking.
I know.
He is the Energizer Bunny, and I feel guilty because I'm walking away. Okay, Dave, all right. It's a good story. Come on, walk a little faster with me, okay? I got to have a few puffs anyway.
Well, you know, he lives in his wanny world.
We just signed USC stuff, and they just kept bringing piles of food, and all we had to do is... You
It doesn't matter if it's a red light, if you've got a commercial break, if you want to smoke. He doesn't care. He's going at his pace.
Yeah, he is. He runs on high octane. I'll give him that.
I'm telling you, sometimes...
boundless energy.
The best stuff from Wani has been the stories off the air.
Well, that's a good advertisement.
Well, but listen, it's all good on the air. But he's got this filter that's kind of just nonstop, like you said. So sometimes I'm like, yeah, man, we should record the entire thing.
I think you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, would be some good best of, and there's some stuff that would be left on the cutting room floor, like when he and I extol the virtues of the 74 draft class of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We don't need to air
right,
that.
We don't need that necessarily.
Yeah, I always like play that Pennsylvania thing up with him because he likes
Cajun.
That.
He's a Cajun.
Cajun. Yeah, he comes in and, you know, he tries to relate to everybody. Very personable guy. He'll always talk to me about Syracuse football because he just destroyed Greg Robinson when I was there as a student. I'm like, sorry for what I did to your school. I'm like, oh, it's okay. You had to do what you had to do. I should stop doing the Wani impression. You have so much more practice.
I'm not that good at it either. It's just everybody, when they start talking about things Dave has said, they want to say it as
it's so much
he
fun.
Does. It is. It's not Swirsky-level fun, but it's fun.
But it's football fun. You know what I mean? Like, he sounds like football.
Yes, always.
It just sounds like the sport.
Yeah. Just to try to get those electrodes.
That's right.
The electrodes need to get going.
Bottom of the hour on the score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves are home Saturday night against Iowa.
Yep, and Manitoba's coming in.
That's right. Sunday against Manitoba. You've been paying attention. Saturday is Koozie Night, courtesy of Sport Clips. And Sunday, kids receive an admission pass to Legoland Discover Center. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. I'm excited for Mitch Trubisky, not because of national narrative or that I care about if Mike Florio or Mike Lombardi or Mike Golic or any of the national mics.
Pick a mic, yeah.
Yeah, care or think that Mitch Trubisky is good. Like, that'll play out over the course of his rookie contract and his career. But just for him, he makes his debut Monday Night Football before he was ready. Night game, prime time, at home against the Vikings. The team's 2-2. They're not good, but there's at least some amount of hope around the team with the second overall pick coming in at quarterback. And he is okay, but throws the interception that seals the loss. And now here we are, you know, 12 starts last year, 9, 21, 20 games later.
Full circle.
In his thing. And he's just a different player. Different receivers, different coach, different level of comfort, and he still is nowhere near a finished product, but everything else is the same, and it's like, all right, this is a great measuring stick for just how much progress he's really made.
Yeah, and this is the biggest stage on which he has performed to date. There's way more riding on this than he's ever had in his life, and so far he seems to be handling each and every graduation he's made with you know, style and composure and poise. And those are attributes a lot of us were iffy on with him when this thing got started. And we had no reason after the first couple weeks to think they would make the progress they have as we sit here in week 11. I've been stunned in a positive and a pleasant way by how quickly their offense has produced.
Yeah, the offense is producing at a higher level certainly than I thought it would, even as a believer in Matt Nagy and the system that he brought over from KC and all of that. But I wasn't as worried about the happy feet stuff because I just knew how complicated the offense was. But I would have never said that he could have gotten it this year, this quickly this year. I mean, they're fifth in the NFL in scoring.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that even you could be the
some help to the defense, which has set them up on a short field numerous occasions.
Of course, but
they lead the league in points off turnovers, so that's partly due to their defense.
But Mitch Trubisky, he's got, 19 passing touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns against 7 interceptions? So
yeah.
Is it 3-1 if you count in rushing, better than 3-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio? That some of it's short field, you're right, but that still is a quarterback who is scoring the football.
Mm-hmm.
So he's way ahead of schedule. Certainly from what he looked like last year. And I was talking to a buddy of mine who is in KC and a Pat Mahomes guy, and he was saying, you know, what it is for Trubisky outside of Chicago when we all don't watch him is first impressions are tough to shake. And so, like, they saw him last year do 7 touchdowns and 7 picks and look horrible. And so, like, that it was the same thing with Jared Goff. And so it's like the first impression for Mitch, he's overcoming that, whereas Deshaun Watson's first impression, amazing.
Yeah, he scored 50-some points several weeks consecutively. And people who saw Trubisky this year on his first chance were unimpressed.
Exactly. But now it's we know, even though it's been Tampa and Detroit and the Jets and Buffalo, like, we know that he's different. And we know this team is different. And I don't know how well they're going to play Sunday night, but I know that I'll be shocked if they lay an egg.
I will too. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it'll be a game that's undecided until they get into the fourth and final quarter. I hope the Bears don't fall into the trap, and I don't think they will, because there's so much evidence they shouldn't, of playing the us against the world card the way the Jaguars did last year, because their quarterback didn't get a lot of respect. They were freaking favored in games, and they were saying, no one respects. The Bears can't say that anymore. They're being flexed twice already, Sunday night and against the Rams. On Good Morning Football, and I watch it all the time, they probably spent a third of their show today, I saw 2 hours of it, on the Bears. They had a live interview with Trey Burton. Mike Tirico was in the studio, and he was singing the praises of Prince Amukamara. So you got Mike sitting there talking about a guy who we don't even talk about, because he seems like, in that defense, he's playing well, but he's not one of the first names that comes to mind. And then I saw what I thought was a glorious promo for their weekend coverage. You know how you start to pray, okay, it's week 11, there's musical score in the background, and you might see slow motion of Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball up tight, and it's just, you know, it's beautiful, it's sure. Poetry in motion. The promo opens with a shot from the ground of Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy arm in arm before the anthem. And then you get to Drew Brees, and then you get to the... And I'm thinking, that is the snapshot of the franchise right now. That's the future of the franchise. And that's the B-roll they choose to lead a promo for their weekend coverage of week 11. That's a statement.
It's a lot of respect.
You have arrived. You absolutely have arrived.
It can go away just as quickly as it arrives. And that's why this next month of time, if you are concerned about national perception, and national perception, it comes with winning. That's what the NFL is. Like, the NFL, yes, the Cowboys get higher ratings on national TV than other teams, bigger fan base and all of that. But salary cap, salary floor, Mario Williams will sign in Buffalo. Reggie White will sign in Green Bay. Guys will go to Jacksonville, where they got to play games in London, because it's fairly equal. It's a decent meritocracy in terms of the money. They put the best teams in the biggest stages.
Right.
So if the Bears go 3-1 in their next four, they'll be still getting a ton of love on Good Morning Football and Pro Football Talk and ESPN or wherever you're watching your national coverage. If they go 1-3 in the next four, they'll disappear.
Yes.
And that's just...
Yes.
That's
the nature of the beast.
Not locally, but that's how it works. Mm-hmm. And so they've arrived for now, and hopefully they're here to stay. This segment brought to you by Subway. They're raising the stakes with Subway Restaurant Steak and Cheese Signature Wrap, Chipotle Southwest Steak and Cheese Signature Wrap, and the Chipotle Cheesesteak Sub on their new Sunflower Crunch Bread. Limited time only at participating restaurants. We are McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Is there any hope left for this season?
Come on, Rod. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I mean,
come on, man.
Can't win on the road. What are you going to be able to do?
I don't even know how to answer that, Rob. I mean, come on. What am I supposed to say? Of course there's hope. Of course we believe in each other. You know, it's just going to take one galvanizing moment. So whether that's a speech or a practice or something happens in the game, something's got to get this thing going.
Aaron Rodgers after the game.
Yeah, Rob Domofsky, Demo, formerly a regular on the McNeil and Spiegel show. Great reporter, getting challenged by the Packers quarterback there. I thought it was a legitimate question. I understand why Rodgers is hot. Look, he didn't. He played great last night for the most part, but the one touchdown pass was way underthrown. And it's a touchdown pass, but that wasn't a great pass. And he didn't do a great job of getting rid of the ball a couple of times. I thought he took a couple of sacks that he could have avoided and moved around a little bit and thrown the ball away.
Yeah, Rodgers has not been the best version of Rodgers this year.
Mm-mm.
We know partially why that is. I mean, he started the season hurt, right? The Bears knocked him out, and he had seriously limited mobility.
As the Bears do.
Yeah, as they've been doing that to a lot of quarterbacks,
Shane
my
McClellan
friends.
Shane McClellan did it to him, too.
So, you know, and then some of it's coaching, and some of it's him. Like, some of it, Rodgers also, he's a big play guy. He's not necessarily, and especially in that system, he's not really a check down mm-hmm. guy. And sometimes in this NFL, it's better to take the guaranteed 6 yards on the check down, get the ball out quick, as opposed to opening yourself up. So Rodgers isn't beyond criticism. He didn't play a perfect game. He just isn't the problem with the Green Bay Packers, not even close.
No. McCarthy doesn't challenge a possession with about 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And there's another one with about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter where a Seattle player, the catch was questionable, and he chose not to challenge that one also.
Because he only had the one timeout.
Yeah, but I get it, but it's a big play. If you don't challenge that, that's a huge gain. They're out past midfield. They're in your territory, I think, with that one.
It was the biggest play of the game for them.
And then the cherry on the Sunday, or on the Thursday in this case, is choosing to punt on 4th and 2 with 4 minutes, I think, and 20 seconds left in the game. You got to go for it. You stated the numbers earlier. You absolutely, that's got it. Even the most conservative NFL minds would say, I have to go for it. I have Aaron Rodgers on my side.
Here's how you know it was a bad decision. Pete Carroll, the opposing coach, he was a fan.
Well, it's kind of a wild Thursday night. Really, really happy about this win for our guys, for all of us.
Were you surprised, relieved that the Packers didn't go for it there on 4th and 2, knowing they only had a timeout?
I was relieved. I really did like that they punted the ball to us right there, because we knew that we had a shot then, you know, to kill the game if we could and kill the clock, and we did it.
That's about as willing as a coach gets to indicting the guy wearing the headset on the other side.
Yeah. And he's, of course, right.
Thank you.
Yeah. They had to get one first down to
Thanks.
End the game.
Have a few crab cakes on your way to the airport, Mike.
It was a remarkably stupid decision. And everyone's like, oh, I need math to show this. No, you don't. You need common sense.
That's all you need.
Do you have a better chance of winning by gaining 2 yards with your offense, or giving them the ball, getting a 3-and-out, using your timeout, using the 2-minute warning, getting the ball back, and then driving the length of the field without a timeout?
I was staggered. I couldn't believe it.
It was insane.
I mean, if Nathan Peterman is your quarterback, okay, punt it.
And you probably still have to go for it, honestly, because it's just – it's 2 yards, man. It's 2 yards. If you had 3 timeouts and Nathan Peterman's your quarterback, punt.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 yards and 1 timeout and your defense is bad? Like, that was the other thing. The Seahawks were moving the ball fairly easily at that point in the game.
Yes, they were. They got better in the second half.
Yeah, so there was no reasonable expectation that they were going to be able to stop them in a 3-and-out and get the ball back. It was all time.
Yeah, it was.
It was all time, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
A very physical game. I thought a game that was pretty cleanly officiated by Tony Corrente and his crew. And I can't say enough about how surprised and impressed I am with what Carroll has done with the Seahawks in the middle of this season. I didn't expect them to be a team that was going to be a playoff team, and they're not yet.
No.
But they have survived to this point after a very shaky start. This is not the Russell Wilson we saw a few years ago. His mobility has been limited. He's not as effective moving around as he used to be, and they've got some decent complementary players at receiver. But what they do defensively with a lot of no-names, like Frank Clark, who had a couple of sacks last night, Bobby Wagner led him in tackles. He was a part of Legion of Boom and their 2 Super Bowl appearances, but they have really turned it around fast. I'm impressed. I didn't expect this. Did you?
No, I mean, no. I had them out of the playoffs before the year also. I thought their offensive line was too horrible. And you know I'm not even the biggest offensive line guy, especially with a mobile quarterback like Russell Wilson, but it seemed like it was a bottom 5 unit in the sport. And, you know, their wins now are Dallas, Arizona, the Raiders, the Lions, and the Packers to get to 5-5.
Okay, sound familiar?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the NFL, right? They're beating NFL teams.
They're beating NFL teams.
They're real good.
They're 500. They're not very good. They're beatable, and they're beating teams that also aren't very good. The difference is they're in a division with the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the problem for them.
You're playing for a wild card.
You're playing for a wild card in a tough conference. The NFC's not quite as good as we thought it was going to be before the season, but it's still damn good, and one of the teams that's the class of the conference is in their division.
Let me play a little NFL Who Are You with you, if you don't mind. You watched last night's game with interest because you had a chance to put the dagger in Mike McCarthy. Next week, I will be celebrating my 27th birthday. I was born in Logan, Utah.
Oh, God.
Went to high school in Mesa, Arizona, but then went back to Utah on a scholarship to play at Utah State. I was a third-round draft pick in 2016, 88th player chosen overall. I'm 6'5 and 245 pounds of man. In week four, I sacked Josh Allen three times. I've had sacks in three of my team's last four games. I have more sacks than Khalil Mack, T.J. Watt, Cameron Jordan, Bradley Chubb, Carlos Dunlop, and a lot of other guys you've heard of. Unfortunately, my team has lost three of its last four, and after last night's loss to the Seahawks, our playoff hopes are fading. I did what I could. I sacked Russell Wilson three times last night and had another TFL. Who am I?
I have no idea.
Shep, you got a license plate on this guy at least?
Kyler Flacker, or whatever the hell his name is.
That's ladies the new and gentlemen,
create
yes.
a player for Green Bay.
I know he's on
Green Bay. Busters.
Please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Kyler Fackrell. Kyler Fackrell, number 51.
Third round pick out of Utah
yeah,
State.
And he's got a ton of sacks. He is a sack machine. He doesn't even play every snap, but man, that dude very quietly is getting it done.
Sack machine and a great Dan Dierdorf name.
Kyler Fackrell really has a fantastic rip technique. Then he employs the double move, the bull rush into the spin.
Packers, man, they're trying to put together a defense. They're going to be good when they get a good coach.
Yeah,
they got some real promise.
Right down the middle
they got some real promise.
Yeah, all he needs a coach.
Once they get a good coach, man.
Kyler Fackrell. Dun, 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 dun.
How about some of those throws from Rodgers, though?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Hey, how about his receivers? Can we give Devontae Adams a little credit
he's
now
awesome.
And again? And Cobb, too. They're good players.
Agreed. And Scalding's maybe the fastest guy he's had in his whole career in Green Bay. Like they've got
Scantling?
Scantling. Scalding. Yes. Scantling, the hyphenated name guy.
Yes, the married guy, as we'd like to
yeah,
say.
Yeah. But no, so he's a legitimate deep threat for him. And then
the tight end who doesn't like contact has a finger problem because he was hand fighting in a player's face mask when he's supposed to be blocking.
I had a fourth string tight end catch one of those 50-yard yeah. plus touchdown bombs last night. I was
and
like,
didn't know how to dance.
I had no idea. He was so surprised. I'm out. Cody and I went out. We got beers and burgers afterwards. The table next to us is four guys in Packers jerseys. The guy catches the touchdown pass, and these guys are, you know, audibly talking about the game and, you know they're Packers. They're like, touchdown to. And then they called out like three wrong names. They had no idea who the guy was.
Neither did Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
He says
amazing.
Afterward he thought it was Jimmy Graham.
It was amazing. Rodgers could make a fourth string tight end catch that ball in that spot. So it seems like the Packers have been eliminated, but they have Aaron Rodgers, so anything's possible. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.